Okay, here we are on overtime, and hopefully a steady connection. We're having a little bit of issues with the stream here. Please let us know if you're having any kind of difficulty. Carl, I see you made it safely.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm with you.
And Alex, I see you.
I am here.
Gila, I see you front and center.
I'm also here.
And I don't see Rob.
No, Rob, unfortunately, has been called away on an urgent matter and will not be joining us for overtime.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, I hope that works out. We all do. Okay, so good discussion. Of course, our phone number is open, as always. You want to give out the phone number at the beginning this time? Because people always call it before we give it out, and this time maybe we can beat the rush. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay, ringer's on?
Hold on.
Nobody's connected?
All right, I'm ready. I have all the tools to do that now.
802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. It's our telephone number. You can call us and converse and give us your thoughts, feelings, feedback, ideas, all sorts of things like that. Because we've run out of things to say, apparently.
It takes it a little while to permeate. People have to get their dialing fingers stretched and everything.
I didn't know it was raining. It's raining outside.
Yeah, there's a lot of weather coming through.
Wow.
I believe that would be our first.
Sounds like a call coming in. Yeah, all right.
Let me see if it's a real call. Don't go crazy. You mean
a real call? It sounds like a real call.
Yeah, I think it is a real call.
Yeah, all right. Well, then pick it up like you would a real call.
I dare to.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, Emmanuel, calling from Turkey.
Okay, Rebel, we know you're not in Turkey. I was hoping you'd make it to the Union Square subway station, maybe, and tell us something about the payphones in there.
I was, the payphone. There was a payphone at the Rockefeller Center station, and it's still working. It's one payphone. There used to be three payphones in the Rockefeller, where you go between the F train. You go between like the buildings, like these little hallways between the buildings in Rockefeller Center. There's one payphone working. There used to be like three or four, but they took them all out except for one, and It's still working.
So let me ask you, because you might know the answer to this, who is operating that payphone?
You know, it is not Verizon, obviously, but I'll have to look. And I'll have to. It's a private company.
You will have to, Rebel, because we expect you to do this. We expect you to know this.
Right. And
I have no idea what you're going to tell me.
Oh, when I was on a website. Oh, that's a thing. Somebody called me, and I'm in Poland yesterday. I was just in Poland.
Wait, Rebel, hold on a second. Are you really in Turkey?
I'm in Turkey, the country Turkey.
Yeah, as opposed to what? The bird Turkey? Yeah, obviously you're in the... wait a minute. It just said you sound better than when you're in New York. I don't understand that. But you're going to have to tell us something that confirms that you are, in fact, in Turkey. So what could that be?
I don't know. Do you want me to have somebody speak Turkish or something? I don't know. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah, the caller ID, Rebel, the caller ID says you're in Hackensack. So I'm a little concerned about your truth-telling.
You know what? Okay, but because I'm using Google Voice, that's why.
Hang on, Alex. What's that? What's that, Rebel?
I'm using Google Voice. That's why it says my Google Voice number, the 201 number.
Blaming Google again. Alex, go ahead.
I can speak some Turkish, so tell them to put somebody on the phone.
Wait a minute. You can speak Russian, you can speak Italian, you can speak a little English, but now you claim to speak Turkish as well.
The other thing I want to tell you is somebody called me from the United States. I got a call from Greece. The country code was like 30, and it was Greece, and I said hello, and they said, hello, is this Richard? Yes. Would you like be interested in? And they were trying to sell me like investment things. I said, no, I don't want to go buy something in Greece. I said, no, I'm not in Greece. I'm in Long Island. I called the number in Greece, and some Greek person answered. And
what do you expect? You call a number in Greece, some Greek person's going to answer. That's what happens.
Yeah, but how did that happen? Like somebody in New York called me from wherever, and it showed up as a number in Greece.
It's probably a random number that they just keyed in someplace, and that poor Greek person is confused to this moment as to why you called him or her.
Right, but why didn't it say the network core ID of, you know, that person at 516 or whatever?
It's called a disguise. They're basically putting in random numbers. Sometimes they put in numbers that are similar to your number.
A random number from Greece? I mean,
well,
like,
maybe it wasn't supposed to be Greece. Maybe they thought it would be an area code and you know, a slip digit made it appear to be a country code instead of an area code. Who knows? But it's probably not some telemarketer in Greece trying to sell you something on Long Island.
Right. That was interesting that happened today that I'm in Turkey.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Rebel, do you have anybody on the phone there that I can talk to?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get you the hotel. I mean, I really have to sleep tonight because I want to see Istanbul. Tomorrow I'm visiting Istanbul. I mean, Emmanuel?
Yes, go ahead.
Tomorrow I'm visiting Istanbul, but I want to spend the day in Istanbul. But I mean, like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning here, and
Istanbul is in Turkey. He must know what he's talking about.
I'm going to be touring Istanbul tomorrow.
How would he know Istanbul is in Turkey unless he was in Turkey, right? Okay. No, we're starting to believe you, Rebel.
Well, I know. It's 3 o'clock in the morning in Iran and Saudi Arabia.
but you're not in either of those countries. So, and plus, right. Iran is on a half-hour difference. So.
Yeah, I know Iran is on. Yeah, I know they do that. But like Dubai, it's 3 o'clock. In Dubai, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
What could we ask him to prove that he's in Turkey?
Put someone on the phone. I'll talk to him.
No, but is there somebody there that will talk Turkish to us? Boy, that sounds dirty.
Sure. Hold on. how do you say this radio show in New York in the United States? Say it in Turkish. Too bad my cab driver wasn't here. He would speak Turkish.
Yeah, just...
United
just
States,
get just on the phone.
Turkey, they really are looking at us like we're a retard.
Okay, Rebel. I know you're from Queens, but try to keep up with the years. I want to believe him. Okay, how did you get to Turkey? Let's try that.
How did I get stuck? I took from Poland. I took LOT Polish Airlines from New York City to Poland, and then from Poland. I stayed in Poland like three days, and then I took Turkish Airlines from Warsaw, Poland, which I like Warsaw, Warsaw, Poland to Turkey, to Istanbul.
Okay, well let's start with Warsaw then. Did you see the ugliest building in the city?
Yeah, I did actually.
And what was that building like? Can you describe it to us?
Well, some of the windows were boarded up, and it looked very Soviet kind of style.
Okay. And how tall was it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. I could send you a video.
Was it three stories tall, or was it?
I don't remember. I think I like passed it. I could send you a video of me because I've been taking pictures and videos and stuff.
Yeah. Those couldn't be faked. What do you think, Kyle? Should we believe him?
I feel like we have trust issues with Rebel, and it's a
Rebel.
It's
why don't you? Go and say this to somebody. Say, Arkadaş telefondaki.
You're just showing off, Alex. And he's going to get a fat lip because of something you tell him to say.
Oh, I would hardly get...
Then there'll be an international incident of one sort or another, and then you have one less country in NATO.
I'm presuming we're still FCC regulated, even in Turkish, so don't worry about me.
We're not even on the radio, so no, we're not FCC regulated.
Exactly. I'm just operating with an abundance of caution here. Say, tell somebody Arkadaş or Arkadaşım, which would be my friend, telephone on the phone.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that. I wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't trust me?
Rebel, tell us something about have you seen the telephone number format? How many numbers? How many digits are in a telephone?
No, I
telephone
don't know.
Number?
And you mean where in Turkey or in
Poland? Turkey, where you are now?
You know what? I'll go check.
Okay. I don't know what he's checking. Is there a payphone or is he going to going to some private area look at somebody's phone? Number. And don't tell us the phone number.
Okay. No, I'm not telling you the phone number. Yeah. The country code is 90.
The country code is not 90. I don't think that's true.
I thought it was 90. Is the country code in Turkey 90? That's 9-0, you see?
Hang on. I could be wrong about that.
And the city code in Istanbul?
He's right, it is 9-0. I did not know that. I figured, you know, the 0 would make it special.
212. Guess what the area code here is.
212? Wow. Hang on. And what city are you in?
Istanbul
is 212. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm casting my vote now. I think Rebel is in Turkey. So now the next question is, why are you in Turkey? What are you doing?
I'm touring countries.
Okay, how are you getting around?
Well, I have now rented a car. I've been taking the metro and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. And where are you going after Turkey?
Russia.
Well, wait, I thought we agreed you weren't going to do that.
Well, I had to come to Turkey to get to Russia.
Oh, this is not a good idea. Did you actually get a visa?
I didn't. That's the thing. I thought I was not going to be able to. I thought they weren't giving visas to U.S. citizens, but I inquired, and yes, they are giving visas to U.S. citizens. I mean, I got one, and I went through, you know, hoops to get one, and I got the currency and, you know, all that.
So you actually have a visa in your passport for Russia?
Yeah.
Okay. Alex, any advice?
Yeah, I would say, you know, be really careful, you know, try to blend in, and definitely, you know, stay out of trouble.
How is Rebel going to blend in Russia? How do you propose he do that?
You know, I think he can, yeah, blend in almost anywhere. I mean, I remember what Rebel looks like from many years ago, and I think he would fit right in. In Russia.
It's not what he looks like that is a concern. It's the kinds of things he might bring up. You know, he's a very honest person. He says what's on his mind, and he'll tell you if your telephone is inadequate, for one thing.
And that's true.
People there might not want to hear that.
Yeah.
Also, being an American, that also might be a disadvantage at this time.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think being an American over there, you've got to be really careful. I also think, you know, be very careful about what you say, to whom you say it, and whether or not you are publicly criticizing what's happening in Ukraine right now.
Well, yeah, Russia's, I know. Because I'm a guest in their country, so yeah. I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, you're a seasoned traveler. You know the rules. But good. It's good to have people that will look out for you over there. Do you have any contacts?
Well, there's a person on YouTube that that does like languages and stuff. And I emailed her, and she said that maybe when you get to Moscow, contact, you know. So,
okay, that's not the best kind of contact.
Somebody who knows the language, and you know,
there are people. We do have one 2600 meeting still running in Russia. Maybe tweet at them. And I know Moscow has suspended their meetings temporarily, I hope. But you're on Twitter, right?
I'm not on Twitter, actually. I'm on Facebook.
Well, get on Twitter. It's not hard to do. And simply send them a message. Yeah, maybe they can hook you up with some people.
But I have to have an account for Twitter, an account for Facebook, an account for Instagram. And I have to rely on
this is not the time to complain about how many accounts you have. I'm trying to help you out here. As far as getting connected to somebody in the area who knows, you know, the ins and outs and can be a friend to you. So I that's what I would suggest.
All right, well, the 2600 meeting, now let me see, Friday. Oh, yeah, it's going to be this Friday. Where will I be doing this? I'll be like settling in then. Maybe I will be.
Well, okay, there aren't 2600 meetings in Moscow at this time, but they're, hang on, I'll find the name of the city that does have them.
Well, I'm only going to be in Moscow. That's the only place I can go.
Okay, well, then you're not going to a 2600 meeting, but it doesn't mean you can't contact the people who are part of those meetings that aren't happening.
Right.
It's
well, in Poland, there. I did talk to somebody at the laundromat in Warsaw, Poland. He was from Russia, and he...
Again, these aren't the kinds of contacts that are really going to... be of much help to you. Talking to somebody in a laundromat is pleasant, but Yeah.
Well, he's from Siberia.
Okay, well, that's certainly interesting. The Twitter handle of the people running Moscow 2600 is, not surprisingly, Moscow 2600. So if you're able to break down and get a Twitter account and you send them a message, Moscow 2600, maybe they have somebody that can meet you over there that can show you around, that can help you out. Again, I don't know. That might be the last thing they want to do, but it's something.
I emailed you a picture of something, I think. Is it a payphone? Oh, no, I think I emailed you the link to the payphones not being in New York City anymore. But you know that one in Rockefeller Center is working. I should actually take a picture of it and send that to you.
Yes, when you're back in town, definitely do that.
I might not see every payphone in Warsaw, Poland.
What's going on with your – was your mouth full or something?
I'm having dinner.
Well, it's very rude to talk on the phone while you're having dinner. The people around you must be very upset.
People around? There's nobody. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here.
And it's also rude to have dinner at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I'm from another country.
Wait, why are you still? You're in Turkey and you're on New York time. That's kind of strange.
I know. I mean, it's you know.
Oh, it's because of us.
I really should have.
It's because of us. It's our fault. Yeah, you're listening to us. Because
I wanted to stay off the hook.
This is like Bobson, except he's a lot more lively, I guess, being on New York time, whereas Bobson is on Bulgarian time, which is
he's not on. He didn't call.
Not yet, because
I flew over Bulgaria.
Okay, I'm sure that excited everybody over there. Guys, Gila, Alex, any questions for Rebel? Because it's 3 in the morning. He can't stay on much longer.
Right. So, Rebel, have you tried tomorrow?
Rebel, you have to stop talking when other people are talking. Go ahead, Alex.
Have you tried any of the Turkish ice cream yet?
What is it? You want desserts?
No, that'll do tomorrow. Turkish ice cream. I'm sure it's not as good as Carvel.
Is there no product placement, please? But is there a Turkish dessert place near you now, Alex?
I'm in Manhattan. We're never too far from it.
Oh, that's true.
A place that's Turkish delight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in Pennsylvania tonight. I am in Manhattan. But the Turkish ice cream, real Turkish ice cream, is very interesting. It's a lot different because it's really elasticy. It's very stringy. And, the ice cream vendors can do lots of interesting tricks with Turkish ice cream.
You don't mean Turkish taffy, do you?
No, Turkish ice cream.
Okay, because that's elasticy too, but Turkish ice cream.
No, I traveled around Turkey. God, it was a long time ago, but I loved it. I thought it was a absolutely beautiful country, wonderful people. Food was fantastic. An amazing amount of culture, history, I just had a lot of fun. I think Istanbul is to this day one of my favorite cities.
Can I ask you, Rebel, are you in Europe or Asia?
The European side.
But you can literally walk to Asia in Istanbul, can you not?
Well, it's not really Asia. It's more the Middle East. Because I know it's like 1,000 miles to the actual Middle East.
Okay, but legally it's Asia. I wouldn't stand on ceremony.
No, Asia's in China. No, that's in China.
Look, you can walk across a damn bridge and be in Asia. I suggest you do it.
Yeah, I'll be in the Middle East.
If you cross the Bosphorus River, you're technically on the continent of Asia.
Yeah. How many times can you say that? Well, you have to do it first, Rebel.
You'll probably be in the continent in the Middle East. I'm on the Eastern European side.
You know, great minds have said over the centuries that all you have to do to get to Asia is cross that bridge. So I would not refute them. Just go ahead and do it. Something else you can say that you did. And any other final words from you? And when are you?
I can take the metro there too.
Next week at this time, will you be in Russia?
Tomorrow's, Wednesday. Yes, I'll be in Russia.
Okay, well, be sure to call us then. We'd like to know how you're doing. Because, that's something. That's an interesting trip. And I'd love to go there, too. I really would. I always have fun in Russia. But
haven't you been to Moscow? I thought you'd been there.
Yes, I've been there a couple of times. I took the Trans-Siberian Express.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember. That's right. You did. And, you know, going to a place, it's really not enough to just see it in a picture, look at, you know, watch a video, see it on, like, Google, whatever. Mm-hmm. You really have to be there in person, seeing it in person. It really, you really do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Although, in this day and age, you're able to find a YouTube video that is an entire train ride, walking through streets of some city. So if you can't make it over there, it's a damn good substitute that you're able to experience these things through other people's eyes.
But it's really not, there's no substitute for really actually doing it, being there and looking for yourself, you know?
Yeah, unless you can't do it, in which case you need a substitute. And that's a pretty good substitute that we never had before.
It's just like working from home. You know, you can work from home, and you can, but you really have to be there shaking people's hands and meeting people face-to-face. You know, people don't, like, travel anymore. Like, they don't go to, like, business meetings. They just do it on, like, you know, virtually. But it's really it's nice to do that, but that's if we have that. But it's really no substitute for actually being there, shaking the person's hand in person, looking at them face-to-face, and, you know.
I'm just trying to picture all that. Yes, but yeah, it's you're right. There's no substitute. There's no substitute. Okay, he's in Turkey because people do smoke in Turkey. A lot of people smoke there. Is that what's happening?
Actually, and there's a lot of cats in Turkey, I see.
A lot of cats in Turkey. We're going to check that. We're going to check into that and make sure that's true. All right.
That's what I hear.
Rebel, it's 3:23 in the morning, I believe, your time. And you should get some sleep and start out fresh tomorrow. Let us know what happens.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Good hearing from you. Take care.
All right. Okay, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
You just couldn't resist, could you, Alex? And he was gone by the time he said that anyway. All right.
Hopefully he heard.
Rebel and I did not believe him when he said he was in Turkey. I thought he was yanking my chain. But
I thought so, too.
All right. Well, I was going to give out the phone number, but I guess I can't because it's already ringing. 802-321-4225. That's our phone number. Do we have a connection, Kyle? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hello. I can barely hear you.
Okay. I keep hearing our audio is low. And is there anything we can do, Kyle, to fix that? Or
yeah, I'll work on that.
Over the air, your audio dramatically improved at 10 after.
It's a YouTube thing. Well, we didn't change anything at 10 after either.
Well, what came out changed whether you did anything or not. But obviously I've turned off the sound coming through my computer to talk with you on the phone. And when you raised your voice louder, that worked.
Okay. I don't know what to say. If we're low, turn the volume up on the archive. We'll fix the levels. There's only so much we can do, you know, because we don't hear what you hear on this end.
We only increase.
Well, I'm just reporting for your information.
Mm-hmm.
We only increase the volume to accommodate this issue once per show.
Is that true?
Yeah,
okay.
We've already done it once this show. So
it's a physical limitation that we have. Anyway, what's on your mind besides our audio levels?
Were you by any chance given a list of people who pledged for you in the past week in support of the unjust attacks on you?
I have not been given any list of anybody, pro or con. And if I were given such a list, I would not accept it because I don't believe in prying eyes. Although sometimes we do thank people who pledge specifically to our show.
Yes,
that's
what I'm referring to.
But we don't get that list normally.
You don't get that list what?
We normally do not get that list.
Oh, because I was asked, did I wish to be thanked? So you ought to get the list.
Well, we don't get the list. Someone might be thanking you, but it ain't us. Other than us saying thank you, you know, when we find out about it. But we don't get the list, so we don't have the ability to thank you.
Yeah, we assume that everyone is contributing.
Yeah.
That's just the way we operate standard. So, it's implicit that we thank you because you are contributing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you should demand that they give you the list of people you're supposed to thank on the air by name.
Well, how about you say your name and we'll thank you?
Okay. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Well, wait, you don't have to give out your full name. We usually just do a first name when we get that.
I want to give out my full name.
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, thank you for your generous pledge.
Yes, but we're not on the air at the moment.
That's true, too.
We'll have to wait till next week.
Wow. Okay, somebody write it down. We'll make sure we... But then it sounds like we only have one person contributing. So
well, that's
if,
why you should be asking them to give you a complete
well,
accounting.
Now I feel frustrated that we're not getting it. Wow. And how many other people have we never gotten their names for?
Exactly.
I want to agree with the caller. I think that, you know, this was sort of a tradition that has fallen out of favor, and it is a really great way to also show how much people's support
yeah,
means
but
to
we
us.
We used to
so.
Be in the station, and the phones would ring down the hallway, and after the show, we'd go down and say, oh, who pledged, and we'd get the names that way. Yeah. We haven't done it that way in years.
That's
even before the pandemic, that stopped.
That's the operational reason is mm-hmm. we don't have the same proximity to Tally Room. The Tally Room itself is disembodied to a degree. So there's differences in how we operate. But of course, if it's still on the form and they don't just like maybe annotate, put some first names and send it to us, maybe it shouldn't be on the form. So you raise a good point and apologies that we hadn't already thanked you the way you thought you would be thanked. But right. It is... absolutely not something we don't notice as far as contributions and how much enthusiasm we get during our fundraising hour. So we appreciate you regardless.
Well, I'm also trying to make a public statement and my belief that you should be supported with that against that dreaded FCC complaint.
You know, the only time we hear about that is during overtime. We only hear about that when people tell us on overtime about the FCC complaint. But no one is saying anything to us outside of this one hour of the week. So I don't think it's a huge deal. If it is, we haven't heard about it yet. I think it's a very silly complaint. At least our involvement in it certainly is.
Your involvement certainly is.
Yeah, you know, other than laughing a bit, we haven't really devoted much attention to that.
Unfortunately, it's going to cost the station in Pacifica.
No, that is unfortunate. It's an abuse of the system, I know.
And it could even cost us our license. It's an outrage.
Well, it's not going to cost us our license because I don't think the station did anything wrong. But it does tie up resources.
Not with you, but some of the other complaints do stand up.
Well, you know, I can't speak to that. I'm not really aware of what they are, but there are complaints. There are complaints about any station you can make. Is it enough to lose a license over? Very, very doubtful. I mean, some of the things I've heard radio stations get away with, other radio stations. Would put this, you know, these would pale in comparison if these even are offenses of one sort or another. And again, I can't speak to that. I'm not aware of them.
Well, I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
Not until the lawyers tell me there's nothing to worry about.
But they never tell you there's nothing to worry about. Alex, tell me there's nothing to worry about. See, he can't do it. See?
Can't do it.
Yeah, can't do it. It's not in his DNA.
Not in his DNA to say there's nothing to worry about?
Ask him.
No, I'm constitutionally opposed to, you know, saying that. I mean, look, I think that it's frivolous, de minimis, all kinds of, you know, basically any way you can describe something that is, you know, not a a major concern. But you never know how these regulators are going to look at things and what they're going to want to delve into. And it's also part of the reason why I think we don't want to give too much oxygen to this. I don't think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree.
To be discussing, factual circumstances and things, on this. So it just it seems silly. I just don't I don't want to give it any more airtime if that's that makes sense.
Well, we addressed it. I think we addressed it pretty thoroughly. And for us to continue addressing it with the same people over and over again, I don't think that, yeah, I agree with Alex on that. I don't think, you know, avoiding it is the right thing to do, but we didn't avoid it. We addressed it. We should address other things, and hopefully, you know, this is something that gets defeated because it doesn't.
Lots and lots of people to support Off the Hook while it's being attacked.
Yeah, I thank you for that. I agree. And WBAI as well, because we would not exist without WBAI, and that's a very important forum for so many people.
Yeah, and we were like the first to, you know, we're very keenly aware of it, and its detraction from the other initiatives, the other needs of the station, the acute needs, as you're aware of, as a supporter. So, I think there's a lot of symptoms here that really are misplaced in the true spirit of what WBAI is and what it is capable of becoming. So we want to put our efforts into doing good radio and supporting the stations in the ways we have been and in the ways we know how. And that really gives us the opportunity to have this kind of discussion and support other people, have interested listeners like yourself, keeping us aware. We appreciate, everything you're hearing and your continuing support of us. That means the world. So.
Can I just jump in here? I'm getting a YouTube error, so I'd like people who are out there to tell me if there's a problem. They're saying we're not receiving enough video, and now it just went away. YouTube is so annoying. They flash these errors for a second, and you can't read them in time, but people might be experiencing buffering. If you have low audio, if you have crappy signal, you can always listen to the archive that we post on our website, which is 2600.com.
It seems to be running fine.
It seems to be fine? Okay. Well, then yeah. YouTube is lying to me. 2600.com/offthehook. That's where all of our shows are kept. In fact, these people that were complaining about us, they used that site to make a transcript of the show, which I thought was hilarious. We keep them all online, and it's great. Anyway, anything else from you, caller, Eleanor?
I think I reported. I don't know. Did I report that my long distance has finally been the finger pointing between the two companies? I finally got them to talk to each other.
No, this is breaking news for us because we weren't on last week. So tell us how this got resolved or if it got resolved.
I kept insisting, instead of Company A telling me to call Company B, it's their fault, and Company B telling me to call Company A, it's their fault, and Company A saying everything is fine on our end, and Company B saying everything is fine on our end, I insisted, talk to each other. And I said it enough times that finally they did.
Wow. That's impressive. And did it resolve?
Yes.
Terrific. Wow. That is something. That is a victory.
Thank you for...
Yes, but it took more than a month.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I had to miss two WBAI Community Advisory Board meetings because I couldn't make a long-distance call to call into the meeting. And the meeting is only by phone, not by computer.
Thank you for sharing with us and for being an advocate for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, and I'm sure you'll inspire many more people to do similar things like that. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm impressed. Are there any payphones in your area?
There used to be a payphone right in front of my building,
mm-hmm.
but it's gone.
Yeah.
And it was useless for a long time before it was removed.
Uh-huh. Are you aware of any at all?
Sort of thing.
Are you aware of any in your neighborhood or in the vicinity?
I don't get out much. What with me being at high risk for COVID, I just... mostly stay put. I'm not aware of any payphones in the area, but then again, I hadn't been looking.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a fair answer.
I'm not also not aware of any of those kiosks that you described.
The Link NYC.
I don't know if I've ever seen one.
You've never seen a Link NYC kiosk. Wow. Okay. I'm kind of envious.
I don't know. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember. But...
I think you'd remember. I think you'd remember that.
Okay.
It's like seeing a monolith
I
from 2001.
Uh
huh. All right. Well, good hearing from you. Congratulations on your victory. We're going to open up the phone lines.
Okay. Bye.
And
bye.
Again, thank you for your support.
You're welcome.
Okay. And our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. We're on for a few more minutes at least. Yeah. Alex, you got something?
Well, no, I just think it's wonderful to hear that, you know, despite the fact that we're not fundraising mm-hmm. actively, you know, begging for money online, that some of our devoted listeners and regular callers saw fit to support WBAI and the station. I think that's great. I'm glad that she brought that to our attention. And I agree with Eleanor that we should be, I think, thanking more of our supporters publicly. I think it would encourage more support. So we got a call.
How did you know? Wow. Yes, we did have a call. Good evening. Hello. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Greetings. Hello, Gila, Rob, Kyle, Alex. Manual. Greetings to everyone out there.
How you doing?
It's Kirby from Etobicoke.
Hey, Kirby, what's up?
Hi there.
Not too much.
How's Ontario?
It's election night.
Oh, wow.
Eve, actually.
How about that? Yeah. It's election. We got to turn on the Canadian TV and see what's going on there.
It's tomorrow night.
Wait, tomorrow night or tonight?
Tomorrow night. Tonight's the eve. You know, it's like Hallow's Eve.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like mischief
June
night.
June 2nd, Ontario uh-huh. election. Just for everybody out there, there's four major parties,
mm-hmm.
two of the Conservatives, the Liberals, the New Democratic Party, and the Green Party.
Wow.
Doug Ford's government seems to be heading for another majority.
Uh-huh.
And if you're out there and you're from Ontario, make sure you get out and vote and have your say.
You know, I'm a little bit resentful of Canada. I mentioned this on last night's show. But, you know, we had the mass shootings and you guys get the gun reform. How is that fair? You know, we deserve the gun reform. And Trudeau goes out there and says, you know what? No more of these assault style weapons. And we're going to stop the sale of handguns. And in this country, we just basically keep voting for the same thing over and over again. And it doesn't matter how bad it gets. We just keep letting it happen. It's disgusting. But congratulations, seriously.
Well, what happens in Canada is we have more than just two main political parties. And so currently, as far as I understand, the minority Liberal government, which had enough seats to, you know, more than anybody else, but not enough to have a majority, has made a deal with the farther-leaning left New Democratic Party. And that deal is for a couple of years, and the New Democrats will support any of the bills that they put forward to the floor. And I think that's why it's possible to get this done during a government that's not a majority government.
Well, just the fact that you can get it done at all is more than we have here. You know, it doesn't seem to matter if we're majority Democrat, majority Republican. We just seem to stagnate. And we keep pointing to things from the 1700s that don't apply, that don't make any sense. There was a terrific piece, actually, in the Washington Post today. We talked about this last night, basically saying how the Second Amendment has been interpreted by radicals since the 80s. And it's not interpreted the same way as it was before then. In other words, from the 1780s or 90s all the way up to 1980, for about 200 years, it was interpreted in a particular way. And then with this new Republican movement that we've been suffering under for so long, it was, I guess, radicalized, where it basically means anybody can get anything and do whatever they want. And you've seen the results. And, you know, we're told that that's the way the Founding Fathers intended it. And I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah, we've been too timid to tell people that they're wrong. Their mm-hmm. interpretation is wrong. It's been the same attitude, like, oh, you're unaware of this type of that or this type of firearm or this or that. The details are too much for you because you don't advocate for it, so you must be educated. And it's the same thing, that creep of interpretation of this amendment has morphed into something where, you liberals don't understand because you don't support this. We're telling you this actually means this.
Conservative elitism, that's what that is.
Yeah, and it's forced this weird cowering of like, oh, well, maybe they're right.
Well, no, it's because people, you know, they it's very easy to tell half of a lie and have that stick. You know, it's like, Alex, I've told you this story many times, but when I was in college and we would basically distribute false memos all over campus, that's to basically cause all kinds of mischief. We announced that a curfew was being reestablished at the university from the 1960s, and there had to be this whole big PR campaign to tell everybody that, no, we are not re-implementing the curfew. Everything is staying the same. This curfew was in effect in the 60s, but it's not in effect now. There was never a curfew, but we somehow were able to change history so that when they denied it, they had to pretend, or no, they had to say that there was a curfew in the 60s because they didn't do their research and realize that they were being completely fooled. That's what's happened to us with this interpretation of the Second Amendment. We're told that this is what it means over and over again until we start saying it ourselves. And it's not what it meant. It's never what it meant. You have to look at the entire Constitution, you know, to see what a well-regulated militia actually means. And when you do that, you realize it's not the way it's being interpreted now. That requires you to not pay attention to the rest of the document.
And I just wanted to add that what the result of this is, it ends up being the people who have been told one thing talk to people and try to educate them with the wrong information because they think they're right. They've been told by the gun manufacturers, the political leadership, the NRA. They've been told this fallacy about this amendment. They run around heavily armed telling all their best friends and neighbors and family members that, oh, this is true. This is a fact, and you know, while they're loading up their assault rifle, and we're supposed to confront them and say, "No, you're wrong." That's the setup.
You know, Kirby called us from Ontario just to say hi, and here we are, basically standing up and yelling about guns and the Second Amendment and all that. I'm sorry, Kirby. We just get impassioned sometimes with what's going on in the world.
Listen, it's passionate times. After what's gone on, I understand your emotions completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a discourse. It's no problem.
Well,
whatever you guys want to talk about.
All right.
Back,
well, then hold that thought because Alex looks particularly perturbed now. In fact, he's sweating. He's got something to say. Go ahead.
Well, on the subject of the NRA, I think it's worth mentioning something somewhat historical in a sense. I mean, it's the NRA. What, Emmanuel, or anybody, what does the NRA stand for? What is that?
You're asking me what the NRA stands for.
Yeah. Well, what does that acronym stand for?
They stand for terror, Alex. They stand for illogic. For absurd interpretations of the Constitution. Or do you mean what do the letters stand for? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, what the letters stand for? What is the R in particular?
Rifle. Yes, I know. It's rifle. Right.
So rifle. National Rifle Association, right?
Mm-hmm.
So rifle is an interesting choice of word when you're forming an organization, right? Because a rifle is a long gun, number one. It's not a handgun. It's not something that you would conceal in most states. Most states, rifles are not nearly as regulated as handguns. But the NRA, when it was founded, had nothing to do with gun rights and gun advocacy. It was a marksman's club. It was for people who shot rifles.
Right, right.
And that's what it was for a really, really long time. It was up until, I think, the 70s and then including the 80s, you know, it wasn't involved in politics. It was an apolitical organization. Once they started getting involved in politics, and the position of the NRA became that they would oppose any kind of gun legislation, any kind of reform that would regulate firearms, the NRA was adamantly going to be opposed to that. And that became its mantra, and that's how it wound up becoming basically the Political Action Committee and organization that it is today, and how it went from being a marksman's club to this massive and powerful political organization with millions of members around the country.
Alex, when did that start? When did that change start?
It changed when there was a certain CEO, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, putting me on the spot. There was a CEO of the NRA, and it was such an interesting story. There was an article about this, I believe it was in the FT last weekend. I'll look it up once I shut my mouth here, I'll go back and look up the name of it. But the gist of it is that there was the CEO of the NRA or the executive director of the NRA who came in, I think it was in the mid-70s or maybe the early 80s, and he rejiggered the entire organization to be much more of a political animal than an actual sportsman's club.
So that recently, the 1980s, the same period we were talking about before. That's
exactly right. But what was interesting was this guy who became, you know, like a household name, it came out way after he had completely reformed the NRA that he was convicted, I believe, when he was 17 or 15, I think he was 17 years old, he was convicted of, I believe, manslaughter for killing a 15-year-old with a firearm. And nobody knew about this.
How does nobody know about that? How does that slip by?
It seems like a really relevant thing to know about somebody who would be running the National Rifle Association and turning it into a political animal. But this is a guy, the person who made the sea change in the policy of the NRA, was he himself convicted of killing somebody, another human being, I believe a 15-year-old child, with a firearm. So, you know, I'm going to shut up and I'll get the additional details on this now.
These days, I think they'd see that as a plus. Like, oh, he knows how to aim a gun. You know, it's disgusting things like that.
Yeah, you can't just...
Emmanuel, may I speak?
Yes, please, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes I call the line and stuff and we talk about Doug Ford or politics. And I'll just say that I keep it light and fun because this isn't a Ontario politics show or whatnot, you know.
Right, right.
But, you know, tomorrow, the election, you know, Doug Ford has basically bought it he gave $240 to everybody that owns a car. He rebated some licensing fee.
Right.
And, you know, he makes appearances at local McDonald's saying he loves French fries. He plays, honest to goodness, he plays this handyman role, like he's in a photo op, like he's helping somebody jack up a tire or something, or, you know, helping somebody carry a box into a truck. And the bottom line is everything's not so sweet in Canada and Ontario. It's the same kind of cronyism. It's not guns in this case. You know, he's building a highway that's going to infringe on a green area.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to kill people in different ways.
True.
It's just an example of how these politicians, it's really, in my opinion, a lot of it is the cronyism and the doing it for their buddies and they owe somebody a favor. You know, suddenly this highway, everybody, all the land around the highway is owned by people he knows. You know, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. This is a kind of cronyism.
I just want to say,
go ahead and I'll finish.
Well, I was just going to say, if anybody's out there in Ontario and they're waffling or they don't know if they should vote or whatever, just take it seriously, because another majority of Doug Ford will just mean that his buddies get paid off and, you know, everybody else suffers. I work in the public service at different institutions in Ontario. And there's been like a 1% pay increase freeze for like 4 years or 5 years, you know. And everybody knows what inflation is doing. And so just to end all that, I just don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that everything is rosy in Canada and the politicians are getting things done and, you know, everything is fine. It's great that Trudeau's putting this on the table. We'll hope it passes. Canadians are mostly supportive of a handgun ban. Nobody in Canada needs a handgun except for sport.
Uh-huh.
And that's an extreme exception. Now, that's even a different kind of gun. And I will tell you, less than 5 kilometers from where I'm sitting in Toronto, one of the Toronto Maple Leafs was carjacked with a handgun. So I don't want to make any, you know, I don't want anybody out there to think that we're saying that, you know, Canada is better or doesn't have these problems. It has different forms of them.
If I could just disagree, you are better. I mean, I'm not saying these problems aren't real and that you can certainly do better than Doug Ford. And if you have that opportunity, you need to take it. But the fact is, you know, you guys get it as far as gun control. You guys get it as far as health care. And you can even go to the people on the right and they will at least get that much. They'd be called radicals in this country for the left. But that doesn't mean that they don't have serious problems. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't think carefully and do better. Absolutely. But I'm envious of some of the things.
Nobody in this country generally, okay, let's not say nobody. Let's say most people in this country that own a gun don't own it because they have to shoot somebody that's coming to get them.
Mm-hmm.
They have it for a different reason. And I think that's one of the definitive points. The other thing, though, is in the States with this discourse and the way that the pro-gun people talk, I mean, it's obvious that, okay, this is an argument. An argument turns into a fight. And what happens if they lose the fight?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to shoot you.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So that's really the problem with the discourse is that at the end of this argument, if they don't win, they're just going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why they maintain the platform so long is that people are scared of them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, a lot to think about. I just hope that we're making progress. Alex, I think you had something to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to clarify what I had mentioned earlier, and I have the actual facts here. The person to whom I was referring, who became a leader of the NRA and changed it from essentially a marksman organization to a political organization.
We got a drum roll here.
Was a guy by the name of Harlan Bronson Carter.
Wow.
He was alive from 1913 to 1991, and he was an advocate. This is from his Wikipedia. He was an advocate for gun rights in the United States and a leader of the NRA, National Rifle Association. Carter's 1977 election as NRA Executive Vice President marked a turning point for the organization. During his tenure from 1977 to 1985, the years we were discussing, he shifted the organization's focus from promoting marksmanship and sports shooting towards strident advocacy for less restrictive gun laws. Under Carter's leadership, the NRA became less compromising on guns rights issues. It also tripled its membership and gained considerable political influence. Carter killed 15-year-old Ramon Cassiano in his youth and was convicted of Cassiano's murder. It wasn't manslaughter, it was murder. Although this conviction was later overturned. I think it might have had something to do with a jury instruction. The incident was not generally known during most of Carter's leadership of the NRA, but rose to greater prominence and infamy later.
Wow, that is something. I did not know any of that, and you'd think that would be something I would know.
You would think that would be a big, fact about the checkered history of the NRA, but it just gets eclipsed by many other blotches in its past.
Gila, did you have something? You're muted, Gila.
Sorry, how about that? Speaking of things you'd think, and as we're talking about the NRA and as we're talking about the state of the discourse, since we went on air, there have been 3 mass shootings in the country in the last hour and a half.
What? God, I don't want to hear that. Any details?
Okay.
How? I hate to have to ask this, but how big mass shootings are they? Are they minor mass shootings?
Minor, they're not, 19 school children.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of details about stuff, but I don't know what we need to do. Sorry to bring the room down, guys. And Kirby, thank you for calling.
Already,
it's always nice to hear from you.
We were already kind of down as it is. But one thing that I think we should start with, one thing we should start with is not politicizing these mass shootings, not saying there's a difference if it happens in Chicago or if it happens in Oklahoma. You know, it's terrible no matter how people get guns. It's terrible if it's a fight. It's terrible if it's some lunatic mowing down a church or a school. It's terrible if it's a, as we're seeing more and more now, groups of people with guns firing at each other because they all believe they're the good guys with the guns. You know, it's just, you're going to see it more and more circumstances where the only common denominator are the guns. So that's the thing that we have to all realize, no matter what side of the political spectrum we're on. It's not a political issue. It really isn't. It's a health issue. It's a societal issue. And, you know, again, let's not forget, the vast majority of people in our country, United States, they want to see gun reform. They want to see assault-style weapons banned. And they probably want to see a lot more than that. So we have to stop pretending that this loud, vocal minority really represents anyone but their own selfish interests. And we need a way to make sure they do not have the power they have now. I'm sorry, Kirby. That's the last I'm going to say about the subject.
Hey, listen, it's a show for everybody, so don't worry. Whatever way it goes, it goes.
Can you tell us something maybe nice and positive from up your ways?
Certainly.
All right.
Okay, okay.
Notice how quickly he said certainly.
Bad news.
Go ahead.
The good news is I got my flight booked, and I've got my hotel booked for the Hope Conference.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. The bad news is because of the pandemic and, you know, just the uncertainty of everything, I've decided not to do some kind of roundabout route.
Okay.
In order to get to the conference, just because the logistics and here and there and everything, you know.
You do know Rebel is currently hitchhiking through Turkey, so not all of our listeners follow the same advice.
Well, that is true. That is true. Now, that being said, I will be landing in New York 4 hours from where I sit.
It'll take you 4 hours to get? Okay, that's not bad.
Including the international pre-booking, including everything. The flight's an hour and 25 minutes.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, it's great. It's probably better than driving over across town in the morning to get to a job on the other side of the city.
Now, can I ask which airport are you flying into?
Newark.
Okay, so you're flying into the least convenient airport, but that's fine because...
But it's the most convenient for me on this end.
Okay, fine. So, Gilo, how do we walk him through this? What would you suggest?
Right, because we've got two airports in Queens, and you're flying to New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, excellent choice, Kirby. This is very exciting.
It's actually not
there
hard.
Okay. I'm unfamiliar with Newark because I'm in Queens.
Well,
do you suggest, Emmanuel?
They have an AirTrain too. Okay, it goes to every terminal. Theirs is a monorail, which is very exciting. And you basically get a ticket on that, and that takes you from the terminal to Penn Station. It's that simple. You take the monorail to the train station, and then you get on New Jersey Transit and take that to Penn Station. Don't get on Amtrak. If you get on Amtrak, you'll be charged a much higher rate. It probably won't stop there anyway, but get on New Jersey Transit. The trains are frequent, and then you're in Penn Station. Okay, you're halfway there. Then you switch at Penn Station to a Long Island Railroad train and take that to Jamaica. They almost all go to Jamaica, and they leave very frequently, and the trip is not very long, like about 20 minutes or so. And from there, there's, I don't know which hotel you're staying at, but there's a bus, I believe, that goes to the hotel from there, or I'm not exactly sure what the best way to get to the hotel is.
Three I know kilometers how to get, or
the venue.
Two
the venue.
Miles or something away, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
The two starter hotels that you listed, they're about 2 or 3 miles away from the venue.
Yeah, they're less than 2 miles away. They're less than 2 miles away.
Yeah, so that's nothing. Just get on. Put the backpack on and get on the running shoes and just start walking.
Well,
that's there before you can even.
That's the attitude.
Anything.
Absolutely, yeah. But you can get to the venue very easily from Jamaica Station when you get off the train. There's a bus that goes directly there, and from the venue, it's very easy to get to the hotels. I know that much.
All of these things are true. And also, if you get to Penn Station, if you don't feel like taking the Long Island Railroad, you can also take the E train on good old New York City Transit. The E train to Kew Gardens Union Turnpike, I believe. But again, all of these instructions instructions for all sorts of various modes of transit can be found on hope.net/travel.html. Transit?
Gila has spent months putting all of this together. So we strongly suggest everybody read every word so that her efforts are not in vain.
Well, as a international visitor, I was able to book the hotel through the website and get the proper codes. And
cool.
It worked out great. Thank you.
And for those of you who are bemoaning the fact that you might be too late because they are selling out, we just posted 5 more hotels on our website. And they have good rates as it is. We don't need a special code with them. So check those out as well. And they're all within 2 miles.
Okay. Great.
All right. Well, good hearing from you, and look forward to Hope coming up in just about 7 weeks. Oh my God!
I just got to take a plane for an hour and a half. You guys got to run the whole thing.
Yeah. We better start thinking about that. All right.
I'm just kidding.
Great hearing from you. We'll follow the election tomorrow, and we'll think of you as it's happening. Are there elections all throughout Canada, or is it just Ontario?
It's Ontario only, but it should be a lively night on Canadian television.
Oh yes, absolutely. All right, take care.
Take care, everyone.
All right, shall we try for one more, Kyle? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the system can handle it.
Well, can we handle it? We've been on the air
or
online for over an hour.
That's a different question.
Let's do one more call. All right, 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. Yes, Gila.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just...
You were raising your hand.
I was playing with a little laser pointer. I'm sorry. I forgot that I was raising my hand. My apologies.
That's okay. Playing with a laser pointer, that can be dangerous, unless you have a cat. And we have a phone call?
We have a call.
And go ahead. You're on offload cover time. Speak up. Is anyone there?
Yes, sorry.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I think I found out what this QAnon nonsense is all about.
All of it?
Yeah, I don't know about all of it, but at least the good foundation of it.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's, well, it makes a lot of sense. If, you hear it, you're going to think, you know, the other side kind of justified if they're believing this and if they're, you know, been selling this information around and saying, like, hush, hush, don't tell anyone else except us, and people are getting riled up about it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's The Simpsons.
The Simpsons?
The characters. Yes, The Simpsons did it.
I knew it. Didn't I always say it was The Simpsons? Like, they're at the root of all this crap? And not just this, everything.
Yeah.
Well, people blame Family Guy. They blame South Park, but it's always The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's those Harvard grads.
They're, wow.
You know, they've only had one female writer.
Is that true?
Apparently. Yeah, and her name is Caroline Owens or something, which I think is a Red Sox reference.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did you see their season finale, though? Boy, that was kind of, radical as far as the things they were saying.
No, I have no idea what was going on.
I suggest people watch that. I'm surprised they put it on TV, to be honest.
Well, if you think about the names, the character names, and there's a lot of different characters on that show,
mm-hmm.
every single one is pretty much a sexual pun.
Okay.
And the puns, not only that, are they like sexual puns, they tie into the storyline. It's kind of interwoven into the series. There's an alternative, you know,
stories. Weren't some of them named after family members of Matt Groening's?
I don't know. I mean, possibly, but I mean, remember, like, okay, you know, there's the three-eyed fish.
Yes.
Blinky.
Caused by the nuclear power plant.
Yeah. Okay, have you ever studied language, particularly learning English, and then there's a way, there's like this little, I don't know what it's called, it's like a cute little example to say that, you know, the English language, the spelling in it is very, forced. Because the English language imports so many different words.
It's inconsistent, yes. There are all kinds of different weird rules. Right.
Yeah, and the thing is, you spell out fish, and you spell it out in a way that it's, with like a G or something. And so if you think about that, and I think the second episode, Bart was in a, like a special school for like gifted children, and they said, you know, RDRR.
Okay.
That was like, and then they had a lot of prank calls.
Uh-huh.
Backwards speech, a lot of anagrams, like the whole thing. There's a lot of, you know, wordplay in it.
Interesting.
So if you think about all the character names, they're,
go ahead.
Wait, caller?
Gila, go ahead.
Caller, are you talking about spelling fish G-H-O-T-I?
Maybe. I'm not quite sure. I took Latin in high school. I remember the instructor writing and saying like, oh, you could spell it out this way. And then if you use the pronunciation from all these different words that you borrowed the letter from, you could say, you know, it would be pronounced fish, but it wouldn't look like. So.
Yeah. G-H-O-T-I. G-H as in tough. O as in, I don't remember. And T-I is an initial. It spells fish.
You know, this gives us a lot to think about. And I think, you know, listeners should do some research on this. It's there could be something here. But thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, anytime. Love the show.
Thank you,
guys.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. And I think that's going to do it for us tonight because we are tired. And boy, this day went by fast. Gila, Alex, good talking to you again. Gila, it looks like you have something else to add.
Just two things. I was just going to say, don't forget, 2600 meetings are this Friday.
Oh, my God. I forgot. I totally forgot. This Friday.
2600 meetings are this Friday. Check it out wherever you may happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
And also, happy Pride.
That's
everybody.
Right. It's June. It's June 1st.
It's June. Make some noise. Throw a brick. Be proud.
When you say throw a brick, I mean, you know, be careful where you throw the brick.
Be prideful.
Well, be careful where you throw a brick, Stonewall was a riot, for Pete's sake.
Have a brick in your hand in case. Yeah, that's fair. Alex, any final words from you?
No, I'm all talked out. Just good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Yes, I think that's a good sentiment to end on. Thank you, everybody, for calling. Again, write to us, oth@2600.com. And please send us any info or interesting articles or whatnot that you think might benefit from. Again, more information on hope.net will be appearing on almost a daily basis at this point. We will see you next week on Off the Hook at 7 and on Off the Hook Overtime at 8. Have a good night.